Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Mattini. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show.
Want to welcome everybody to Lunchtime Wisdom. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. Mark Mattini will be with us as soon as he arrives to the studio. I want to say thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with us. And I hope you find something interesting and something fun in our conversations today. We kind of cover a little bit of everything. So what is wisdom? I know a lot of people have asked me that. Wisdom is one of those things that is very different for everybody. Wisdom can vary a whole scale of things. Wisdom could be the things that we learn in the short term. Wisdom could be the things we learn in the long term. Regardless, wisdom is wisdom. Doesn't make it right or wrong. But sometimes wisdom could be used for the good, the better good of man and woman. But sometimes wisdom could be used, not so good as well. That we try to promote on this show the positive light of things and the good things in life. Because in the world, there's tons of things going on that, you know, will just turn your head or turn your stomach. So we're pretty excited about that. But for me, wisdom is kind of one of those things where you obtain through life. As you move through life, you start to understand, you start to pick up, and you start to collect, and you start to decipher in life what's important and what's not important, the things that you hold close to your heart, the things that you value. So wisdom is different for Mark as it is for me or the next person down the street, but wisdom is one of those things that supposedly as we get older, we should be obtaining it. But when you don't know what you're obtaining, it makes it a little bit harder. One of my posts I put on today on Facebook was balance is an illusion. And, and I think people were going, probably thinking about how should I respond to that or, you know, whatever. And I had a friend respond and she gave me her response. But then I asked her again. I said, you know, really look into what I'm asking you. Ask what I'm really asking. Balance is an illusion. On our show last night here with David Tucros, we had Cindy Riggs. She was on the show and we were talking about that a little bit. And it was a pretty exciting topic because balance for Iggy personally is one of those things that can really put you in a state of mind of either frustration or put you in a state of mind of bliss. And for what I find is a lot of people really truly don't know when they have reached that point of balance. When do you actually reach that point of balance? Can you say, oh, I'm in perfect balance or I'm in balance? Or is it just one of those sparkly things that we say in the holistic community or we tell people in the holistic community, you must obtain balance, you must meditate? You know, I find we give a lot of great advice to people. We say do this and do that. But yet, you know, Mark, you're listening to what I'm saying. You know, we give great advice to people, you know, go get balance, you know. But I think people get stuck. They're like, well, how do I do that? How does that look like? What does balance look like?
Right. I mean, it's all about to achieve balance, you have to, you know, we kind of work like a pendulum. We go, in most areas, we go too far to the left, and then, like, we run into these same situations over and over again. They're like, oh, my God, I'm sick of doing this. Then we go way over to the right to correct, and then, you know, then we try to, you know, the pendulum hopefully starts swinging closer to the middle, and we try to get, you know, to achieve that balance and to, you know, it's not an exact measurement. There's lots of trial and errors.
Absolutely.
So, you know, what I try to remember, I'm really good at making lots of mistakes. So what I try to remember is, you know, I learn a heck of a lot more by my mistakes than if I do something perfectly the first time.
Sure. And you know what's cool is, balance is one of those, it's like time, it's an illusion, you can't really see it. It's
very subjective.
Very subjective, because once you're in, if you're on the dark side of things, let's just go there for a second. If we take our bodies and we take our emotions and our physicalities to that side of the pendulum, we're swinging over there, you know, we can actually find balance there too. We can actually find, but what I like to refer to, that thing that flows you through and tries to get you out of that and put you back, is called harmony. Harmony is one of those things that you flow with and flow through and around. And so you're in this unbalanced state of mind or whatever, according to yourself or whoever, whoever labels you, because we label ourselves pretty damn well too.
Right.
But then we're down in that depth, per se. But inside that depth, we're learning a lot. Like you just said, we're learning a lot. But in there, it's like a dance. It's like a harmonious dance. We're flowing through everything and trying to figure out why we're down here, why we're in here. We're trying to find those pieces of the puzzles and trying to kind of understand what's going on. So for me, harmony is one of those things that never really ever truly leaves you. It's always flowing with you. Even like if we go completely to the light side too, you know, we're over here floating around and we're going, wow, you know, angels are with me all day long. And look at my God, you know, you and I both have run into people like that. So, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's where they're at and that's where they need to be. And I guess the true meaning of balance is understanding what centers you, I guess. You would have to know the parameters for yourself. You know, so I guess when people throw out words like balance, you know, or make time or la 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 or do whatever, we have to do that with a kindness in the heart, you know. It's easy to go tell somebody to go meditate, but for some people it's very difficult to meditate. People can, you know, there's different ways to meditate, you know. There's thousands of ways to meditate. You can sit in silence, you can be walking, you can be on a swing. You know, you can watch TV and be meditated if you're not careful, you know. And you know, it's a form of hypnosis of sorts. You put yourself under and you listen for the voices. The key factor in meditation that I've been taught is to listen. Ask your question maybe ahead of time and then listen. And don't judge it.
I agree. What I tell people and remind myself a lot is, you know, on an astrological level, honor your transits. Mm-hmm. You may not want to go through a Saturn transit or a Pluto transit or whatever, but there's a purpose for it and there's a reason for it, and you usually come out with things set up better on the other end. So mm-hmm. you're not going to run yourself through something just because if you're feeling impatient or want it to be over. And two, for my fellow Phoenicians out there, looking at the phonetics, harmony, in a way, I consider the opposite of harmony to be disease.
Mm-hmm.
If you break down disease, it is dis-ease.
Right.
So when we are not in balance, do not have harmony, we are at dis-ease.
Well, here's another funny thing. Well, I just thought about that as you were saying that. If you break down the word harmony, it's harm-me.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, okay, so what are good words for us to say? You know, it's super important to know what we're saying to ourselves. You know, harmony is supposed to be a positive word, you know, but now you think about it, you know, harm me, you know?
Here's a word that I hate.
Okay.
Here's a word I dislike. Hope.
Hope, okay.
I don't like hope. I don't like hope.
What is it you don't like about it? Just
be honest. Hope is always a thinly veiled promise that maybe things will just randomly turn around sometime. To me, the biggest conspiracy theory in the history of our reality is randomness. I see no evidence of randomness. I see no randomness in my world. I don't see anything that just happens out of nowhere. There's a meaning and a message and astrological correlation mm-hmm. to everything that happens.
Right.
I've never seen any proof of randomness. I don't believe that it exists.
Let's say that random is the existence of things just happening naturally. You know, random is just what we throw out there with things we can't explain. When we can't explain something, oh, it's just a random occurrence. There is no random occurrence.
Right.
That was supposed to occur, regardless if you like it or not.
Right.
Well, that's random. When you say something random, did you really say something random? Or was that something that was really in your subconscious mind?
Right, exactly. I mean, even look at the medical side of it. I mean, you know, they want to say that psychic abilities and ghosts and seeing UFOs and all this other stuff is all just bunk. It's none of this can be proved.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, mainstream science says that. And I mean, and even they're changing their tune on this. Mm-hmm. I mean, they say that like a vast majority of our brain is just junk stuff that doesn't. It's like, no,
that's my junk, man.
We don't have the equipment to measure it yet, so we don't know what all it does.
Yeah.
But even mainstream science is seeing how our thoughts, words, actions they're even starting to come around to see how what we do and what we say. So I like words like, I like phrases like I am. And I will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like hope. Hope always seems to be attached to some empty promise that is never fulfilled.
Yeah, I met her once.
Yeah. It's like everybody
I
else
went there, so
everybody else can have hope. I don't want somebody that promises me hope. I'm not interested in buying hope.
I guess the promise, it's a word, you know, we associate things to a word, and then here's the problem, we associate so much energy towards certain words that we expect them to do certain things for us and give off certain type of events or some type of factors. You know, like if you say hope, everybody's like, well, there's always the hope we'll make it through this, or there's the hope.
Right,
there's always
right.
hope on the other side, you know.
And
but
I would
fear.
Rather say, I will make it through
yeah.
this, or
and then,
I will create this change.
Right, then we have fear. You know, I'm so fearful. But you could just hear the words that we've created these words, and we associate, the energy behind these words are so powerful. When we say fear...
Right.
You know, I'm so fearful right now. You know, it's like I'm so, you know, it conjures up all kinds of emotions in our body.
Yep.
It's just amazing. So it's, you may have fearful moments, but you may be really fearful. But the point is we have all this energy that we throw around. We don't even know we're throwing it around. Constantly. Every day.
Totally agree. You said something about... I kind of lost it there because we kind of channeled, but you said something about catching up a minute ago. So one of my favorite, or making up for time or something. One of my favorite, he's a kind of an ex-punk rocker, but turned into a kind of a spoken word philosophical comedian. But I really love Henry Rollins. He has so many great phrases and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He says, You don't catch up on sleep.
Yeah.
You don't catch up on lost time. When that time is gone, so what you do is you ensure that you don't waste time again, or you can't catch up. You can't get back that time.
Right.
You just take better advantage of that time in the future.
Oh no! Once that's gone, you can't catch up on sleep. You mean people?
Right. Right.
That's a big thing. I always hear people say, I'm going to catch up on some sleep.
Right. No, you're not. It wears down your body when you don't get rest.
Do you want some Heinz on that? Or?
Right. Gotcha.
But yeah, it's. I'm not saying it's been proven, but you know, you just can't. Once that's eliminated and it's been used, it's out there in the universe being recycled. And I talked about wisdom earlier in the beginning of the show before you stopped in. And that was another word, too. It's one of those words. You know, these really powerful words that are used for metaphors and used for, mm-hmm. you know, obtaining a type of level of where we're at or how we're moving through our ages. And wisdom is one of those words that people use, too. Well, you're going to gain wisdom from that.
Right. I get a very subjective word.
Yeah. It's a subjective word. There's a lot of words like that in our culture that we use that can be very shaming. Those words can be very shaming, too.
True.
You know, those words can be shaming because there's a point sometimes where you reach and you go, wow, well, do I have, how do I know when I have wisdom? I mean, is that a wisdomonic moment? I don't know. You know, I just made that word up. But regardless, you know, it's like, how do you know when you get to anything? Does your belly tickle?
Right.
Does
right.
your nipples get hard? I don't know. You know, I'm just,
right.
I mean, how do you know?
You go to the doctor and get a wisdom shot.
Yeah,
I mean
wisdom chat. They tick my wisdom teeth. I don't, you know,
right.
No, I'm no wisdom.
I've been dumb ever since.
But you know, that's
wise dumb.
Wise dumb. There we go. You know,
you break down the words, and you see the true, original, often hidden meaning of them.
And so, I was thinking really hard last night about particles. You know, the particles and time continuums and all that stuff that Cindy was talking about, and I've heard this before, and I, you know, and just kind of let it go sometimes out of my head, but I find it really interesting that we're all made out of the same stuff that the universe is made out of. And so she mentioned something about how people can manipulate the particles and move them and shape them, and you know, and I have to say that I feel like sometimes I've done that. If you haven't done it, I mean, you know, I'm sure you have, but there's been times where I feel like I totally just move time and space, and I've actually been in two places at once, because people have reported it's been spiritually and it's been documented by people that I've been places with them that I'd never been to. So I find it really super interesting how that works and how the timelines are just crossing over and all the things that are just happening simultaneously and which reality have I jumped into or jumped out of at any given moment. You know, I find myself being with other people that I've never met before. At times, I've been in situations where I'm sitting in a room with what appears to be total strangers for a very short, brief moment, and then all of a sudden, I'm not there anymore. So I find it really fascinating what's happening with the universe right now.
Yes. Yeah, when you said that, there's a song called Particle Man by the script. They might be giants. Particle Man, doing the things a particle can. What's he like? It's not important. Particle Man. Is he a dot or is he a speck? When he's underwater, does he get wet? Or does the water get him instead? Nobody knows. Particle Man.
Awesome.
So,
I gotta hear that song again. It's been a while.
So, so what is happening in the universe? I'd say it's been a very eventful couple days.
Yeah.
So, I had this little rant. Well, we'll just go ahead and call it a rant.
Okay.
Flowing through my head on the way over. So, it is obvious.
Can I push the rant button real quick?
Yes.
Okay.
So, it's been very apparent to me over the last 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
As I have had many conversations with many people by phone, email, text, Facebook Messenger, what is a lot of people are really struggling with the energy right now. And what is happening is our 3D world is disintegrating and crumbling quickly. I think all of our structures, everything, there's all kinds of, the European Union is bullying 13 countries into a bail-in, which is 100 times worse than a bailout, if you're not familiar with it. There is just all kinds of crazy stuff with law enforcement and Operation Jade Helm, and there's all kinds of, everyone is having really bizarre, vivid dreams, and this is all part of the Mercury retrograde square Neptune thing, but our old world is dying, and I say, good.
Die. Die, old world.
Go away. I will not shed a tear. I will not mourn for the old world. I am tired of it. It is useless. It is futile. All the old structures are worthless and mean nothing anymore. So, old world, I say, go away. Don't let the door hit you on your asteroid. And this is, I am envisioning, this is, you know, a lot of people are struggling right now. And it's because we are getting rid of all of our old karmic junk. Our brain doesn't work like it used to.
Mm-mm.
Our old thought patterns are worthless. And I say good. I mean, there's some painful stuff with some of the things that are going away and stuff as we see institutions crumbling around us. But I say, good, go away.
Mm-hmm.
You no longer serve a purpose. I'm envisioning a much better world than we have right now. And maybe this breakdown destruction phase may go, it's going to go on for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But all the negative energies on this planet will not be able to survive in the new world. It will not be able to survive in the new energy that's coming. And it's seeping in.
Mm-hmm.
This new energy is seeping in. And we're in this, you know, we are the caterpillar. We're in the cocoon. We're switching over into the butterfly. We're starting to strengthen our wings. We're almost ready to bust out of the cocoon.
Yeah.
So I will not miss the old world. I don't like anything about the old world.
Mm-hmm.
I am focusing my thoughts and intentions on creating the new world that I want. And I don't, I won't miss anything about this old reality.
Yeah. And you know, and those old energies are struggling to hold on to that stuff.
They're fighting back.
They're fighting back. And for example, ISIS was not really called ISIS when it starts. It was ISIL. Okay? People don't realize that. A friend of mine corrected me, who's in the military. He goes, it wasn't called ISIS. They changed it to ISIS. So that's one of the examples of the old energies trying to hold on, trying to destroy that feminine energy side of things. So ISIS was actually called ISIL. Yeah.
What's the horse that just won the Triple Crown?
I'm not sure.
Pharaoh?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. You know. What'd you ask me?
ISIS, Pharaoh.
ISIS, Pharaoh, yeah.
If you look at the...
So there's a connection to Egypt, okay? There's a connection to old cultures right now.
Yes.
There's a connection that I'm putting together that there's something that they want to destroy because they're doing it.
Yep.
And they changed the name from ISIL to ISIS for a reason. They did that on purpose.
Yes.
You know, a vengeful woman crashing and destroying the house that she helped build. You know, so here you are. Destroying all these cultures, destroying all these remnants of things that, you know, are very valuable to us. It's because that old energy knows if we ever understood the technology that our ancestors put here, that created, and all the tools that they had in hand, because they don't know how to use it, because they're using it improperly. The way you use it is by opening the heart chakra, opening up your life, opening your... It becomes natural. When it's unnatural, it doesn't work. Because when you can communicate with crystals and stones, Superman's a good example. The movie Superman with the crystals and all that, when they put all the crystals in the thing, that's what we're able to do when we're connected to Mother Earth, when we're connected to her, when we hear the voices of the Earth, when we can hear it, and when we're connected. Ley lines have been destroyed because of glaciers and different things like that, but these ley lines were highways to get from one point to another point. And, you know, and I always say this, that we don't give enough credit to ancient societies, you know, for doing things. But there's so much that we've lost. So much we lost because of greed and just money and power. You know, our ancestors weren't prone to that. They also fell victim to that. They're the ones that opened up the door. You know, there's always somebody in the group goes, wow, we can make credits off that, or we can make beans off that, whatever they called it back then.
Mm-hmm.
We should control it. And so what happens is these things used to be free for everybody to use.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody paid their dues. They farmed. Everybody just knew their place in society. You know, it was like there was really no kings or queens. There was really no people who were like leaders. But there was philosophers per se, people who had just a little bit more to share about things. You know, a little bit more deeper in the thought mind about things. And these people were the ones that helped the others get along. You know, this is what we should do. This is what should. And then people go, yeah, you're right. Or maybe they would say no. But at the same token, I believe personally that there was another group of people who were just so adamant to control it and capitalize on it. Well, we can make people do this and do that. And, you know, it's greed and power. And that's why we lost all those great, beautiful things. But I think there is a resurgence that we're recreating it in our own image, you know, per se, in our own way. Because everything is changing so rapidly right now. After 2012, there's been a rapid, rampant change in acceleration and development. The biggest development is the human development. You know, the lichen, you know, us, the people, the luminous ones. You know, we are illuminating at a rate that is unimaginable. The people that you knew and the people that you're going to meet are completely different. The people that you have in your circle right, not necessarily right now, or that were in your circle maybe 3 or 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
or either have left you, or are kind of just pendulum around. They're, you know what? Those people served a purpose at that time, and they're no longer going to be with you. And don't be surprised if one day your husband or your wife wakes up and goes, "Hey, you know what? I don't want to be married anymore." You know, and you're going to be like, "What?" Or your boyfriend or girlfriend goes, "You know, I don't want to be dating you. And I don't want to date you anymore." And they won't have a reason. They won't have a reason. They'll just go and, "I don't know. I need to fly. I need to experience something that, you know, that we're not working. It's not working between you and me."
Are you breaking up with me on the air?
Mark, I think we broke up a long time ago. But But, you know, that's what I'm noticing with relationships right now. People, the things that, you know, people think that, well, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. I'm not going to talk to him. Or I'm not going to talk to her, you know. There was a time where it bothered me. There was a time where it was like, well, what's the matter? What's going on, you know? Now I can give two flying Fs, you know?
Right.
You know, right now it's like...
I make very few conscious decisions anymore as to who I'm going to hang out with or who I'm going to do stuff with or not. It's like I think of all the energy I exerted the first part of my life trying to force stuff and force things that were the people that are good for me and the people that I like being around now, they just naturally flow to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to. I'm not saying I don't have to work a little bit at the relationships or whatnot,
right.
But I don't have to. The people, some old friends that don't vibrate with me as much, then we don't hang out as much.
Right, exactly.
We touch base once in a while and whatnot. But the people that are of like mind and of like energy to me now, we just, our energies flow good together. And so we have, it just flow. It's, you know, I don't have to force things.
And those like particles will fight each other.
Yep.
And they'll resonate with each other. They just know where you're at. You know, it moves through a system that we don't really know how it works. But all of a sudden, you have all these beautiful people around you. And, you know, and here's the thing. You don't have to hold on to these people that you don't like.
Right.
Or these people who you don't resonate with. You know, that's the illusion that we have to be kind. We have to be nice. You have to also be, you have to open your heart and say, you know what, hey, you know, I'm ready to go that way. You know, I know it's going to be sad and it's going to be a little bit maybe traumatic at the moment, but maybe it won't be. Those are just those old paradigms. You know, that's kind of where I've been going over the course of a couple of years. It's like letting go of those things. And sometimes I look back, because you can look back and you're going, wow, I still miss it, but not as much as I thought I was going to, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, exactly. I totally agree. I think, too, we look at going back to the conversation I had with Cindy last night and looking, you know, we were talking about a few minutes ago, you kind of mentioned, you know, like the subliminal stuff and advertising and things. You know, I think a lot of our reactions are, you know, results of the matrix that we're programmed into. I mean, I understand when someone passes away or something like that, I mean, I understand being sad. I've been sad when people have passed away or moved on or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's almost, you know, when people come in and out of our lives at times, just naturally, I mean, it's almost like we're conditioned that, like, we have to be miserable or sad or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody leaves... You know, if somebody physically leaves this reality, they're probably on to a better place or a different reality or a different lesson, and they're not restrained by the physical 3D issues we have here. That's like if people come into our lives and, you know, if we date them for a while or they're friends with us for a while or we co-workers, and it's like, you know, and it's like we're conditioned that we have to always be sad about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like why can't we honor our relationships we've had with people, honor people who were here and alive with us and walked with us for a ways, honor people we worked with, were friends with and whatnot. And why does there have to be sadness attached to everything? I mean, I feel that this is programming, that we're all just kind of, you know, and it's like, and you even see it in, you see it in marketing and advertising and commercials and stuff. I mean, there are things to be legitimately sad or sorrowful about, but it's almost like we're set up to be programmed to, you know, we're Pavlov's dog. Like they hit the button and it's like, oh, I laugh at this movie. Oh, I cry at this movie.
Pavlov's
I'm
cat.
Happy with this thing. This makes me angry. And it's like sometimes I have an instantaneous reaction to things, you know, outrage or sadness, and I'm like, do I really? I'm not, you know, after a couple seconds, I'm like, okay, do I really, am I really outraged at this? Or is that just how things are and I've been projecting this whole time that I, or, you know, projecting my stuff on the other people that they're supposed to act a certain way, or that, you know, am I just running a conditioned program that I'm supposed to have this emotional reaction with it, you know, oh, my sports team loses and I'm upset. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, it's, you know,
hold that thought.
I watched the game and it was a good game.
Right.
And that was fun.
Hold that thought, Mark.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. WithInsights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Welcome back to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Iggy and Mark.
I'm Wesley Wabbit.
Wesley Wabbit. Mark is on the other side of the table there. And we are talking about life and how we see it, not through our eyes. And, you know, you're talking about conditioning.
Yeah. So, it's like sometimes it feels like we're conditioned to give certain responses, and it's like, you know, a lot of the things that I would initially get sad or mad about, it's like, do I have to, after a few years of looking into this stuff, I kind of felt like I was a controlled robot a lot of the times. And it was like, do I really feel this, or am I just regurgitating or parroting what the Matrix programmed response is that I should, you know, that I should give to a certain scenario. And that, to jump back real quick to, you had brought up, I feel like we've just been like channeling this whole time, because I can't even hardly follow our own threads. You're talking about the Egyptian names.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get conspiratorial here for a minute. So this is a demonization of the female energy. And actually, there's some other things, which I won't get into the other things, but there's some demonization of the male energy going on too. But it's mostly been of the female energy. So last October 23rd, we had an eclipse at 0 degrees of Scorpio. The sun and Venus being the goddess, we're also at 0 degrees Scorpio. So this eclipse hit exactly on. So we had the sun, moon, and Venus all at 0 degrees Scorpio. This is a significant event to have. Eclipses aren't that unusual. We have 3 or 4 a year. But to have them at 0 degrees of a sign and conjunct Scorpio. So this is a Illuminati ritual is the nicest way I can put this. So this is a demonizing of the female energy. So, and I know I'm going to forget some of the stuff. I had a whole big list of stuff, but we're just, spirit's taking us here now, so I'll try to remember what I can of it. So leading up to that October 23rd eclipse is when we had they had this the Ebola plague and the ISIS. When they first were throwing around the ISIS this summer leading up to October 20. So just a new demonization. The mainstream media does it. I mean, they don't consciously do it, but they do. I'm going to quickly requote a story from a friend of mine. She went to see Neil Tyson deGrasse speak. The Nova guy, I think.
Oh,
he
yeah,
had a science show on Fox for a while. And somebody had brought him up, and he kind of went off to say, like, oh, these are all conspiracy theories, and there's no political or fear-mongering or anything going on when people name asteroids and planets and stuff. It's just, you know, they usually name them after their dog or their cat or whatever. And then he proceeded to talk about an asteroid that is supposedly coming near to hit us in the next couple of years. Its name is, I'm going to butcher this, Apophis, A-P-O-P-H-Y-S, I believe. Well, if you go search that word, Apophis is an Egyptian demon which was the arch enemy of ISIS and was sent to destroy ISIS. Mm-hmm. And so now, too, even if you go Pepsi comes from Pepsid, or Pepsi is a derivative of an ancient Egyptian god as well. Mm-hmm. And what's the Pepsi symbol? It's the all-seeing eye, if you look at it.
Yeah.
It's the eye in that circle. And then, too, we had the demonization of ISIS. And then, too, we just had the, on 6-6-15, which 1 in 5 is 6, on 666, we had Pharaoh winning the Triple Crown, the first Triple Crown winner. And
next year is going to be crazy, right?
Right, so it's just a continual
666-15.
Right, so it is. It's just a continual demonization of the female and the goddess energy. Venus at 0 Scorpio, where the eclipse was on October 23rd. Venus is the goddess. Venus in Scorpio is often affiliated with ISIS energy. So anything they can do to kind of tarnish or demonize that energy.
So here is what I found. ISIL was short for Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. Okay? So at some point, they switched the acronym style to ISIS. They changed it around. It was easier to, you know, make it more more appealing. It had more appeal, you know?
Right, and to I gotta share a quick little blurb.
Islamic
there.
State of Iraq, Syria. Supposedly is what it stands for, but
okay. So I'm trying to list somewhere on my in the last a bunch of documents were just released through the Freedom of Information Act showing that ISIS was in fact a CIA creation, as are most terrorist groups throughout the world are creations of.
Why not?
Parts of, right. The main purpose of governments, by the Constitution, here's what governments are legally allowed to do. Wage war, defend the borders, print money. Everything else that our government does, which 99.9% of what they does, is illegal and they have no right to do. That's where the problem reaction solution comes in. These, we'll call them the powers that be that want to control things, they have a scenario, a direction, a path they want to lead society to. If they went and said, hey, we're going to do this, there would be a massive outcry or, outrage. So what they do is allow or create events to happen that then allows them to pass legislation that pushes society in the direction they want to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're failing miserably, though.
Right.
In my opinion.
They are, and that's why they're throwing out all the stops right now. That's why they're doing all kinds of... Because, I saw some interesting posts the last few days, too, about, all these rampant police killings and stuff where they're shooting unarmed people and everything. It's just amazing how all of a sudden, I know they're putting dashboard cam stuff in cruisers and things like that now, so there's going to be more video stuff, but I'm starting to get just uneasy feelings about some of this stuff. I'm disturbed by what I see and stuff, but on some level, it's almost like I maybe just used to clamp down on this stuff before it would come out. But it's like I'm almost feeling like we're being set up for something.
It's reality TV, man.
Yep, and it's this Operation Jade Helm that is happening in the Southwest this summer. You're going to see a bubbling of point.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you push people who have nothing, you know, they're gonna boil. Baltimore was a good example.
Yep.
They were young people, they were old people, but you know what? The young people reached the threshold. We don't understand because we live here.
Right.
And we don't have to go through that kind of crap. Right. And have to go through that kind of misery and that kind of poor. You know, most of us are pretty fortunate. I'm speaking for myself.
Right.
You know, don't have to go through that crap. Don't have to worry, you know, where my next meal is going to come from, you know. But we've conditioned and programmed people to live a certain way for so long.
Right.
And when you have that many people in one concentrated area, it's hard to get out of it. It's easy to say, oh, but get out of it. Strive. Work hard.
Right.
A lot of people work hard and they strive and they can't get out.
Right.
And sometimes, why do you have to leave your home?
Right.
You know, why can't you just make your home better?
Right.
And they've been doing that for years. But, you know, there's a point where, you know, people just don't, you know, they want freedom. They want to eat. They want to be able to say, hey, you know, they want hope. But it's hope that's, it's a false hope because, you know, you're showing people something that's not real. You know, putting a community garden is one thing, you know, that's great. But, you know, who gets to eat from it? In that garden, you know?
Right.
Just the people in this neighborhood?
Right.
You know, we do little things to, you know, appease people, you know, and we throw sports at them, and we throw drama at them, we throw TV at them, and you know
celebrity gossip and...
You know, and that doesn't work. That doesn't work. After a while, you know, you do snap out of the numbness. At one point, you do wake up and go, huh? What just happened? And hopefully by that time, it's not too late. You know, hopefully by that time, you know, you're not so far in the muck that you can't pull yourself out. But a lot of people, we've put a lot of people there. You hear stories all the time where some daughter comes back home and she has a lot of money. She gives her mom like a lot of money. And then the mother loses her welfare because she bought the house or whatever, you know, because, you know, the daughter was only trying to do the right thing for the family. And then next thing you know, you know, we condition these people. We condition minorities. Minority group peoples, black, white, Chinese, Latinos, doesn't matter. Our government conditions them to live that way, so they teach the next generation how to live like that, you know. And so the next thing you know, you have this cycle that keeps going on and on, and then you wonder why these people can't pull out of it. Then eventually you start cutting away the system, cut away that old system, that system they are used to, and they don't have it anymore. Then you have all these people who can't work, have no skills, have no nothing, you know. And then all of a sudden, it's just a bubbling, you know, and then it explodes. They tore everything apart because you know what? It doesn't matter to them. It doesn't cost them anything. They're not attached to it.
Right. So you feel if you go into a room, you can feel if the heat is on or the air conditioning's on, or if there's been. If there's something weird in the, if someone sprayed a bunch of hairspray or been burning incense or something, so you can feel the energy that's in a room or in a place. So I think this goes back to the programming thing where I think there is a particle field or energetic field created around. You know, people are born into an energy field that shows a lack of.
Yes.
Or they're conditioned to feel a lack of, or they're not good enough. Or they go through that process of feeling that, you know, this is the only world they know. And they come in with that energy around them. And so, it's really easy for me to say, oh, if they just spiritually awakened and saw all that. But, you know, that's crap.
You're right. These people grew up and they live in these situations and they don't know any. It's like the circus, man. If you lived in a circus, you can look at a circus carny or an elephant and you go, oh, the poor animal, you know. You put them out in the wild, the animal will probably die.
Right.
Because it doesn't know any better. You know, it's like a person, if you take them out of a situation that they're not used to, you know, and, you know, they suffer.
Right.
Unless they have that strength to pull themselves through or enough people to help them. And that's why people get stuck into these little pockets of things. You know, these little pockets of things. You know, they move over here and they move over there. but it's huge. We're a big country. People have no clue how big this country really is.
Here's a story you see a lot in the in the sports world. You have a guy who, from rough neighborhood, he's a great athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to a big school, you know, nice big school, and they end up in trouble the whole time,
yeah.
or get kicked out because of grades or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So you've taken someone out of one environment, and without properly helping them or working with them, they just try to throw them in as, here's our next star football player,
yeah.
or here's, and but there's other things going on besides that. You're taking, like you said, you're taking someone out of their environment and putting it. Same thing with, you know, you see this in the military too. People have, we train people and condition people to be able to fight or kill if need be,
mm-hmm.
and to defend themselves and others, and then send them to some part of the world. And then when they come back, we don't, some of them may need some reconditioning or, you know.
How do you integrate them?
How do you integrate back? You've just taught me to be a killer. Okay, now we're going to throw you back and go work at Wendy's. What?
Yeah. That's real
you can't,
for some people.
If you have a fish tank at home, you can't go take your fish out of his perfectly balanced, chlorinated, nitrate balanced water in his mm-hmm. fish tank. You can't just go take him and throw him in a glass of water
right.
filled with fluoride and rust from the water pipes and expect him to live. Unless he's a goldfish.
True.
A goldfish will. But
right.
any other kind of fish, just like you can't take a saltwater fish and throw it in a
right.
freshwater tank.
Or you can't put a piranha in with my goldfish because he'll always be a piranha.
Right, right.
You know, his instinct is to survive.
Right.
And these people have to survive. And, you know, and like you said, they've been trained to do things that most human beings will never have to do ever in their life.
Right.
And no matter what happens, Mark, we always influence somebody or some
mm-hmm.
things, or we're influenced by some things or someone's or some things. We change the world around us constantly at every given second, every given moment. We're always doing the influence job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's super important for us to know as human beings, we should know, hey, you know what, and be cognitive of that, be aware of that, that, you know what, we do make a difference in the world at levels that we may never know or see, seen and unseen.
The energy you are putting out is affecting the particle field around you, which
mm-hmm.
is also the particle field around other people.
Absolutely, because it's not disconnected.
Exactly.
Because it's all intertwined. It's all intertwined.
Right. Unless you live in a bubble, in the outback in Australia.
I don't know.
But even then,
you're still connected.
You're still part of the collective unconscious.
You are. So it makes you wonder about the collective unconscious, what it's really thinking, what it's really doing, what these particles are really maneuvering, you know? I mean, what's really, does certain particles outmaneuver other particles? I mean, is there, it's kind of like when you throw, it's like when you're pouring water into a cup, you do it really slow, and you get a nice steady stream. But if you take a bucket and pour it into a cup, how much water really goes into that glass, if any? You'll get some.
Right.
You might not get, or it may overflow too.
Some of it dissipates from the time.
Yeah.
I have a little drink well water fountain that
mm-hmm.
my cat drinks out of
because mm-hmm.
she likes drinking out of a fountain. I guess that's fun cat stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know, I fill it up and it's like the water, a lot of it evaporates, but especially when it's humid out, the water evaporates.
Right.
Where does it go? It's, you know, physics tells us that energy cannot be destroyed. Energy can only change shape.
Yep.
We are made of the same particles as this desk and the chair and everything. It's just all matter is energy condensed to a slow vibration.
Yeah, it evaporates.
Just energy condensed to different states of
yes.
thickness, you know, denser or lighter.
Yes, that is true.
Condensed.
That's what Cindy said yesterday, that actually when people are making love, they're not really touching themselves. It's actually the energy that we think we're touching, but there's so much space between the touch, the feeling of touch. it's the vibration that we're actually feeling when we put our hands together. I find that really interesting.
Mm.
So it brings up the point. It brings up this huge point. Is anything that is outside here that we think is out here real? Are we so inside our head? Are we so deep inside the brain structure? Is our life actually happening inside the cerebral cortex of our brain? Are we in there? Everything that we're doing, is it happening inside our head? Are we visualizing it and viewing it? So it makes you wonder what's really happening. So someone's a snip off all my senses right now.
Mm-hmm.
Would I cease to exist? No, I would exist. But I would exist as a different being.
Mm-hmm.
No hearing, no taste, no vision, you know? The only thing I had was my thoughts and the imagination of creating those thoughts, you know, and touch, of course. I couldn't feel anything. So what is really happening? What is really going on around us? What is really happening in that universe that we call, you know, the human body? Are we even really in a body? Are we really actually? I mean, what? The Matrix is a good example, you know, for that.
Are we the twinkle of a star out in space?
Yeah.
Imagining this.
You know, it makes me wonder. Do I even have a brain? Do I have a heart? Am I really? Unless I cut myself open and look for it, and it's there, is it really there?
Right.
You know, I can see my hands. I can see my foot. I can't see my face or the back of my head right now. You know, so it makes you wonder: is there really blood flowing through my skin? Unless, you know, something gets popped open or punctured, the mechanical fluid of my body seeps out. Are we really truly a very advanced, super conductive machine that we've helped create? Because when you break down the human aspect, the human part of us, the physical part of us, we're like a really sophisticated machine. We rely on salts, we rely on minerals, we rely on certain things that, you know, there are components that are found in batteries and different things like that. So we're the housing for this brain that creates all this amazing stuff. So that's why I say, is when you're dreaming, are you really, is that world real? Or is this world real?
Right. Are we asleep right now just dreaming this?
Yeah. I mean, some would say that this is real because we can touch and feel it, but that could be bogus.
That could be conditioning.
That could be conditioning.
That could be Matrix conditioning.
Because the dream I had last night was freaking awesome. And you know what? I'm not saying this world's not awesome, but this world has a different component to it versus my dreams. But I find that always very, very deep and fascinating about my brain has never seen light. So how the hell does my brain know what light looks like? My brain has never seen anything, actually. It's only interpreted what it thinks something is because someone else has told it is what it is.
But and take that back also, everyone listening at home, reach under your chairs, and I have taped 3 grams of dried mushrooms to underneath all of your chairs, so you may take them now. That all goes back to, well, several things we talked about earlier. Someone born into difficult surroundings, everyone around them is in poverty or has a certain mindset, or even take it the other way, even people who are, you know, born into royalty and don't know what it's like to work for a day. Same thing too. This goes back to neuro-linguistic programming and conditioning. It's like for us to imagine a reality different than ours, to create a reality different than ours, we have to see it. We have to imagine it or think of it first and create those pathways in our brain for it to stretch out to be reality. If you take somebody who's born in an impoverished area, you know, and we want to think, man, if they would just do this or they just wake up or they just... But they have to be able to... They have to have the chance to see that to... And not just see it, you know, walk through it or taste it or touch it for a minute to be able to really understand what it is, you know, or to be able to do that. I mean, I can watch a lion tamer on TV, but I can't turn around and just become a lion tamer just because I would have to go where I'd have to see, I have to touch the lion. I'd have to, mm-hmm. you know, I'd have to work with the lion tamer's
tools. Sure, and the lion has to let you touch her.
Exactly.
You know, if she doesn't let you touch her, then you're not invited to that space. So I get that. And do you ever really tame the lion? Because my favorite video is watching when the lions eat the tamer.
Right. I agree.
So who's really taming who? Maybe the lion's just setting them up for a fall.
So take that too. Maybe just, you know, the lion is allowing itself to be tamed on some level.
I agree.
Just as we allow ourselves to be programmed or allow ourselves to go along with, oh, there's only Republicans and Democrats. No other party can win anything. I guess I have to vote for one of these two parties.
And you know, the struggle that we all face.
Right.
And, you know, that's it. You solved the mysteries of the universe right there, Mark, with that statement. It is time for us as human race to say, hey, you know what? I don't like this. Or maybe, you know, there's enough people out there that says we do like it. And maybe that's why we're still where we're at. You know? But I do see a shift. I see a huge shift happening with people all over the place, all on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? People have had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Even the people who don't really do anything and just voice their opinion, they've had enough too. And that's
right.
Can be sufficient in its own right.
Right. And that's where people, goes back to where you talk about people affecting other people. There's people who feel and sense the outrage and are tired of certain institutions and things.
Mm-hmm.
That's where people who have actually done that then go and show those people, well, here's how you get to the point from just complaining about stuff to doing something that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
actually pushing us in that direction to change our 3D reality.
And you know what? You know how you change your 3D reality? You do spontaneous things.
You step out of your... You kill your...
Out.
You rip the box into little shreds.
I think I posted this. I don't remember exactly what I posted the other day. And then one of our friends responded with, well, you know, you can't really truly have freedom because of this. I said, well, yeah, you're right, because you're still stuck in the 3D world, I said. And then goes, well, you know, why don't you just go put on some thongs and shorts and show off your legs for a while. This is a guy.
Right.
And you know, you have to snap people out of the 3D sometimes.
Right.
With statements or with events or different things that they're just not accustomed to. We're so programmed even to respond.
This is, okay, this is going to, there'll probably be a white truck waiting for me when I get out of here. But here's one of the things I do. So, like over the last year or so, I do this, and I don't do it every day, but I try to be really conscious of my programming and my thoughts and stuff. So when I have time, or when I feel, you know, somewhat calm or settled, I sit and just kind of meditate. But I just look at the things that come into my head. I just let things come up. So I guess in a way it is meditation, but then I look mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay, what just come up? Okay, I have a fear of this. And then I just stop and like analyze every thought that I have. And I'm like, is that real?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a response? Is that a conditioned response from my childhood or from one event that happened 23 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this a real thing that I should be worrying about? Or that I should be focusing my energy on. And I kind of say, okay, this is real. I should maybe put more time or energy into this.
Mm-hmm.
Or I say, this is an outdated concept or an old karmic conditioning that no longer serves me any purpose. And I cast it aside back to the universe to be recycled. And I'm like, okay, what's the next thought that just comes into my head? And I'm like, I have this strong emotion about that. Am I really sad about this? Do I really miss this? Am I really angry about this? And if it is, if I'm like, yes, this makes me angry, then I'm like, why? Why? What is it about whatever scenario that makes me angry?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the best? So sometimes I'll just, because it's like a blip in the matrix, like a, mm-hmm. you know, deja vu or something. You're like, you know, like when your computer screen pixelates, or when you're watching a movie or something, and the frame and it's like suddenly you're like, oh, I'm conscious for a second. Let me stop everything around me and look. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? Am I doing this because it's something that needs done, or that I really need to be doing to attain a goal or to improve myself? Mm-hmm. Or am I just running programmed tapes? And if so, why? And then stop it.
Yeah, and you know what's so funny is, because we don't see it, doesn't mean it's not there. Okay? It's very truly possible. And any possibility can happen. It's very possible that we created a system so long ago that this system is trying to figure out how to keep us in check. Kind of like the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to keep us, you know, it's a computer that is just so ingrained into the earth and so part of the earth that we can't see it. We don't even know it exists. But it's so connected to all the systems, you know, at levels that we have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it puts people in certain positions. It puts people in certain, you know, situations that from time to time, there's people who break away from it. You know, kind of like you and me, you know, and a few others that we know. There's only four of us. But, you know, there's, and then that system bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And that system shows its face. And, you know, then you're going, did you see that? Did you hear that? Did you see that? You know? And then the system freaks out and becomes very vulnerable. Because if one person breaks away, that's a problem. You know, it's not 5, 6, because computers, they like probabilities. They play probability things. If you ever worked on a computer, it's all about probabilities. You know, you put numbers in and it gives you the most probable outcome. There's always that one anomaly, that one little shit, you know, that comes around there and messes it all up. And it knows it. The computer knows that. Computer, you put one little virus in here, mess that up.
Mm-hmm.
Just messes it up. So all of the parameters that it was created to prevent it, it can't fix it because, number one, it doesn't understand it. You know, it's like the natives when they saw the ships for the first time, they thought there were clouds floating in the water, you know. So this computer has the same problem, has the same issue. This matrix computer of systems that our ancestors helped create doesn't have the probabilities. It doesn't know the probabilities. So that's why it keeps getting the same old freaking system over and over, because it knows that program.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't know any other program because it's not willing to advance it.
If you guys are on your computer at home, or Iggy here on his laptop, if you go into your system processes on your computer, you will find a list of programs that run automatically upon startup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes when you notice your computer running slow, you can go through and kind of unclick these programs that run like it'll automatically start running Internet Explorer and your antivirus and, you know. But you can kind of, if you stop and look at those programs that run automatically,
mm-hmm.
you can kind of look at what those programs do, and you can kind of unclick them
mm-hmm.
so that it's not taking up as much memory and power on your computer.
Yeah.
When you start it up,
mm-hmm. That's true.
So you kind of, you know, we are taught most not all, but schools, organized religions, political groups, yada yada. These are Saturn ruled. These are the structures of our reality. This is the box. This is the box that is constructed for us. This is a program out of the matrix that we're taught to run automatically in the background, like your antivirus or...
Mm-hmm. Well, we have it too.
Mm-hmm.
We get bogged down by stuff.
And we are taught to parrot things on most levels. Yes. And we are taught, work your hardest and do the best so you can get as far up in the box as you can. And you're like, oh, my God.
When you look outside the box, there's another
box. I could never ride, and you're terrified of being outside. Oh, what will my neighbors think? Oh, what will my teeth think of me? What will the pastor think? What will the guy at the
UDF
stoplight next to me think? Right, right. Oh, I can't pick my nose in public. Somebody, why can't you pick your nose in public? What is...
Why can't I?
That's just a stupid example.
No,
but just look at so many things. What, I mean, whereas, oh, can't do that. I mean, just think how many times a day in your head the little voice go, you can't do that. Can't do that. You can, then you start, why? If I put my nose in public, what's... Is the earth going to stop revolving? Is a SWAT team going to jump out and get me?
The Booger SWAT team.
Is the... Right, I mean, just all these... We're just... Stop. Stop. Do that. You can't do that. What will other people think? And that is the... That is the construct of the box, which really does not exist.
Yeah, that is
the
construct.
The box does not exist. It's an imaginary prison for you to stay in the middle of, and you can't, you don't know what's outside the box. You can't ever go outside the box. It could be scary. Could be monsters outside the box.
So all you women who live in Columbus, Ohio today, I challenge you.
Oh, here we go.
Take your shirts off and walk down the street topless, because I guarantee you in Columbus, Ohio, it's legal. You can do that. But I guarantee you people will look at you. People will honk at you. People will sing to you. People will say, you know, you will be surprised with how humans will respond to you. Some of you might be disgusted. You might get, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I guarantee you, you're not going to get the same response you would if you had your gun walking down the street.
Or if you can't do that, just have some book.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know what?
Right.
But here, that's the thing. That's how you break down those
right.
constructs. That's how you break down that 3D reality. That's how you move it in, go into the fifth dimensions, you know, by doing the things that, you know, we hold so dear, we put so much emphasis on.
Right, and then too, just think about it. It's like I get up at 6:27 every morning, and I have to be in the shower by 7:02, so I can leave the house by 7:20. And you know, we have teams and structures and everything, and it just impossible. It's like it feels like things are on track because we have teams. It's like, okay, I go to the grocery store on this day, and then it's like when you stop, and it's like you feel uneasy when you deviate from that routine, when you know stick your head out over the corner of the box. And it's like you stop and you think, and it's like everything feels really weird and unsettled because it's like I'm not where I usually am at this time, or I'm not usually, and it's like that's you've found a door out of the box. Because then when you do some, because sometimes I'll just be like, you know what, I'm going to take something today that I normally do, and I'm going to do differently. Even if it's like, you know, normally I go to the grocery store, I go into the left, and I hit the my way around. It's like, you know, I'm just going to do it in reverse order today. Or I'm going to start in the middle of the grocery store. Just whatever, just when you do, purposely do something a different order or different time, or just in a different way than you normally do, you kind of feel like that, oh, wow, there's other realities. There's other things. Or just even responses, you know, if you're sitting at work and I'm jumping in your face and everything, and, you know, I would, like, my first instinct would be to, you know, I'd jump back at them or whatnot. But that,
yeah.
But then, too, you'd be like, you know, why am I getting mad? It's like, okay, they're mad and they're having a bad day. And I can let them abuse their energetic boundaries and throw their crap onto me, or I can just say, you know, stop, that's your energy, that's your junk that you're clearing, you keep it over there. I don't feel like being pissed off today.
Right.
I don't feel like being angry today. You can go be angry. You can go call meetings and raise hell with people and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But your particles are not going to infiltrate my field. And if you come back at me angry again, I'm still not going to. I don't care to be angry right now.
Let me tell you a story about a group of people went out to dinner one day after a long hike. We were all messing around.
Is there a finger in this story?
There might be a finger in this story. You know, we went, we got sat. Of course, we were restless. So the waiter thought, maybe the waiter has the influence on this. Maybe we should give him a little credit for what happened. Because he decided that he was going to play along with us. So he gave us all coloring, you know, those little coloring placemats, crayons. And so we start coloring in, we start writing them. David talks, rants off the ad lib that he put, you know, the little mad libs that they have. And then Adriana's just busting her butt off, laughing over there. I'm like, why is she laughing? But she was constructing. She was changing her reality. She was changing her future. And she was changing how things were going to be by changing the words that somebody else gave to her to say. So she wanted to say something completely different. She wanted to express how she was feeling inside. So she asked the question about body parts and la la la. Everybody gave their, I gave finger, and one gave, you know, buffalo testicles, and the other guy gave tractor. And so all of a sudden, we created this moment that was just that, which what it was a moment. And we laughed and we laughed, and the whole restaurant didn't know what the heck was going on, didn't know what was happening, and didn't know what to think. Some people were appalled. Some people were bothered by our laughing and just our bond, our unity of these people. And some people were wondering, wow, I wish I could be on that table. I could just feel all the energies. You know, you could feel everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we laughed. We had a great time. And then hence, from that, came Farmer Finger.
The legend of
Farmer Finger. And Farmer Finger is just, it's nothing new. People have put little smiley faces on their fingers and posted them on Facebook or whatever on their internet for years.
Yeah.
But for some reason, this particular, I don't know how long it's going to be, but it's a movement of sorts, movement of letting go, a movement of just saying, hey, you know what?
I'm going to stop out of my busy, hectic, stressful day, and I'm going to be silly for a minute.
Yeah. And so Farmer Finger has been doing all kinds of crazy stuff along the way. Some people have watched the progression and laughed. Some people probably think it's the stupidest thing they ever saw. That's okay. Mm-hmm. We're not really asking for anybody's opinions. We're just kind of just doing it. But today I open up my Facebook because today Farmer Finger has his own webpage, Farmer Finger on Facebook. Well, he has 27 mutual friends and 31 friends in a matter of just a span of less than 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, like 12 hours.
Yeah, 12 hours, okay. And then I'm scrolling down this page and I'm going, and I'm smiling because it's nothing that I did or nothing that, you know, it was a collective thing, you know. We're tired of being in that 3D, you know, reality. And I was thinking that we have to be so serious. And I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking at Rebecca Bayless Fairchild's Farmer Toes. You know, she painted smiley faces on her toes while she's doing yoga, and her cat's like rubbing up against her feet. And I saw your little rabbit finger, you know, the little, and then Jimmy finger comes along, and then we have Lisa Meadows Newman. She has like this fingerprint.
That was hilarious.
You know, I mean,
she's so funny.
You know, and then you have Chad. He has a little guy with a little goat, like a little...
Working on his bike.
And his bike, yeah, you know. And it's just like, that was the whole point. That was the whole point. It was to play and to have fun and to just enjoy and to be free of all these things that we call, you know, normality. Will Farmer Finger live forever? It doesn't matter if he does or doesn't. But the point is, you have to be childlike sometimes. Not childish, but childlike, you know, with healthy limits and boundaries. But Farmer Finger has taken on a whole life of himself.
It has. It has.
And I'm a very proud father.
And I...
and he, you know, he had a baby, but the baby didn't make it. They got eaten at the Magic Garden.
Baby got eaten.
Baby Fillmore.
Baby Fillmore the watermelon.
But yeah, anyhow. But that's the playful side. That's the things that takes you out of that construct. Takes you out of that old energy. Puts you into something new. and shows you that there's possibilities, unlimited possibilities to do whatever you truly want when the whenever that moment is. There are no right moments. There's no perfect scenario. Sometimes, you know, just have to go with it. We went with it. He even has his own website now, which is in the development. But
he's a rising finger in the world.
Yes. He's straight to the point, doesn't he? Saluting all the way.
Hope he doesn't get nailed. Fingers
but
out.
That's kind of what Mark and I were trying to tell everybody today. Just, you know, be yourself. Whatever that may be. If you're depressed, you're depressed. If you're happy, you're happy. If you're mad, you're mad. Feel your emotions. So many of us, you know, we tell people, well, you know, I'm not feeling good. And most people go, well, I hope you feel better. Because people really don't know what to tell you. You know, I mean, if you want them to say, oh, I hope you feel better. Oh, you know, what's wrong? You know, that's pity party.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with pity party. But at some point, you got to empower.
Mm-hmm.
You got to say, hey, you know what? I got to do this work. No one's going to do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I want to do it, you know, it's going to take me to do it. As much as you want someone else to, you know, show you the path, they're only going to show you their path.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're really looking at with some, I mean, ask yourself, is this radio station good enough for you? You know, is this good? Are you, what you're learning here, what you're listening, is it valuable? Or is it just entertainment for you? Or is it both? Because whenever you ask somebody for advice, they're coming for their point of reference and how they would handle your situation through their value system.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you just got to ask, you make sure you ask who you're asking. Or maybe you should ask them how they're really feeling. Because one thing is a feeling and one thing is to ask for an opinion. There's two different things. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Right. It's amazing feeling too when you get outside of the box, you know, you step out and you're like, wow, I didn't get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
There's no SWAT at my front door. Mm-hmm. My neighbors are not setting me on fire. There's the and it's like you step out of that norm. I mean, sometimes I'll have a day where it's just like I'm just going to do everything different than what feels normal or different than what I normally do. Maybe I'm just running because I want to check my system to make sure I'm just not running a bunch of old faulty programs.
Sure.
And a bunch of conditioned responses.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of, you know, I'm not just doing the work of the box. You know? And two, I want to make sure that I'm not trying to keep other people in the box.
That's a good statement, Mark.
And that I'm not trying to put peer pressure or stuff on other people, too. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, because, you know, you, I'll run into this and it's like, that's not the reaction I would have liked out of that person. Or that's not how I would have liked them to respond. And then I'm like, you know what? Screw my projections. They did this. They felt called to do this. Mm-hmm. And it didn't fit in with my plans. And so what? That was just projections. That was my preconceived notion or what I had envisioned a certain scenario to go. And it's like, maybe their idea or how they're doing it, maybe it's a million times better than what I'm doing or how I'm doing it.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think people go to your astrology class versus all the other astrology classes that are going on?
I think it's because I try to keep it loose and I try to be funny and I try to, I think if nothing else, I think I'm unique because I look at all the weird stuff and the different stuff that other, you know, like I was having a talk with somebody the other day about, you know, how to do business and how to do stuff. And it's like, you know, how to market yourself and it's like, you know, how to find your niche, I think was kind of what our conversation was. And it was like, you know, if you Google Venus and Gemini, you'll probably find 500,000 hits of astrologers that have written an article on Venus in Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
To me personally, I don't give a crap. I don't. Mm-hmm. I tend to. That area is covered.
Right.
There's plenty of articles out there if you want to know what Venus in Gemini means. I my entire life, my entire work history, my dating history, my music preferences, my movie preferences, the friend, everything about my niche in this world is showing people alternatives and the path least traveled. I live on the path least traveled. I can't. I don't even know where the most traveled path is. I do everything I can differently and outside of the box, and that's because that's how I roll. One of my messages in this lifetime, one of my things is to decondition Uranus retrograde from all the conditioning that's around me. So I stop and look at things, and so I try to cover all the stuff that nobody else does.
Okay.
I don't write on the most popular astrology topics a lot of time. Once in a while I do for something that I feel needs put out there.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I cover all the other stuff. It may be hard to find some of the things that I write on by searching it, but if you find it, I'm going to be one of the, there's going to be five hits on it, not 500,000. Because I excel in those other weird, even on my 3D corporate jobs I've had,
mm-hmm.
I do all the weird stuff that nobody else knows how to do. I mean, I managed a video store, did statistics on 250 live sporting events and probably research for 500 others. I was in international shipping, which nobody understands what that is. What I really do, they understand it's shipping product out of the country, but they have no idea what that job entails. Even people I worked with for years they're like, I have no idea what you do.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I can see that.
That makes two of us because I don't know what I do either. But it is, I enjoy, thrive, and excel in all those weird little pockets that nobody else does. And then I research all the crazy stuff, and then I share it with people. So even if people don't agree with me or like the way I do everything or whatnot, I think I'm at least, I feel that I'm never boring, and that's important to me.
I believe that.
So I think that's why people come to Mike. And two, I think I'm blessed to have a lot of awesome people, a lot of smart, funny, questioning people around me. So I know a lot of people that have made really good friends out of coming to my classes and stuff.
Good. Sometimes we've got to ask ourselves about that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you heard David, you know, he wrote his book. And, you know, sometimes you don't know why you wrote the book. But yet, then he gives it to some girl and her boyfriend in the cemetery reading
right.
quotes for him, you know, out loud. And I thought that was beautiful. I thought that was amazing. It's just one of those things where you know that, like I always say, if you make a difference in one person's life, you've changed the world. You know, those thoughts will carry on and, you know, long after he's gone, because, you know, that's what we strive for. That's what I strive for, that, you know, that I'm doing, the work I'm doing is touching lives.
Mm-hmm.
Not just touching my life, but also touching lives in a way that it's just, I may never know. And I know I have. I've been told, and even through my coaching in soccer and stuff through kids, I have kids come back to me after they're adults, and I see them. I don't even know who they are sometimes. Coach, you changed my life, la la la, and this is what I did, you know. So I mean, it's a good thing. It's not why I do it. I do it mm-hmm. because I love the sport, and I love to share the knowledge that I have, the wisdom.
Right. Here's a general rule of, I don't even want to say a rule of thumb. This is just something that I've found.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back over my life, I feel that I've been, in the long term, I have ended up being much happier and much more content when I've made decisions based on me being an individual and doing what I wanted versus doing what the box wanted me to do.
Makes sense.
The decisions that I've made the most of my life are ones where I didn't do something because it wouldn't have fit well inside the box. It wouldn't have fit inside the box properly.
Yeah, don't we all?
Those are the things that I regret out of my life. And two, within that, there was lessons as well, you know.
Right. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things that happens a lot. If it happened to you already or to yourself, you know, with these decisions, and sometimes we stick around because of fear, you know, or sometimes we stick around because we don't want to hurt somebody. We'd rather be the sacrifice for that situation. But there is a breaking point. There is a point where you say, hey, you know what? I can't do this anymore. You know? And hopefully it's not too late. Hopefully it's not too late to that point where, you know, you can't pull yourself out of it. But I think there's always opportunity to do better. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I think that the ideal, and I am not preaching here because I do not have the correct balance on this figured out yet. But the ideal spot to be sitting in life is you don't want to be. I find I don't get much out of my life, not as much as I should when I'm comfortable. I mean, it's nice. It's nice to be. Oh, I can just sit and relax, and I can. It's nice to have that. And then you have the opposite that, you know, where everything is extreme chaos, and that's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I find the best position to sit in life is to where, like, your chair is just tipped over just a little. So we have a little bit of normalcy, a little bit of structure, but yet you're ready to jump or you're ready to deal with a little bit of chaos. That you get to that too comfortable area, then you get lazy, and then you stop taking chances and making progress and evolving, because it then becomes around, okay, I've got my little stash of stuff. I've got all the CDs and cats and books that I want. And then it's like, you get into this, like, okay, this is my rulership. This is my box I've created.
Right.
And now all my energy is going to be spent defending my little piece of turf or whatnot. And it's like, that's great and everything, but it's like, you tend to start missing out on a lot of stuff when you, I get into that too settled area, and then it's like you have to swing back to the other side.
We all do that.
Yeah.
I think the
perfect area is where you're a little comfortable, but also not so comfortable that you're afraid to move around.
You know, I always thought balance was trying to please everybody and make sure, so they look at you as a good person. That was what balance mm-hmm. was for me. And yeah. If I do things right in the right order, then that's balance. That's not balance.
Right. The goal was to, I hope I can go through today without upsetting anyone.
Right. That's not balance.
Well, I've...
Yeah, because I tell you right
now, I've blown that out of the water now.
As soon as I open my mouth.
Right.
Oops.
Yeah, 2 days a week, I'm sure of pissing somebody off, yeah. I guess.
Well, I really enjoyed our art.
Tuesdays and Fridays at noon.
Tuesdays and Fridays at noon. I've enjoyed our conversation. I think we went deep down the rabbit hole and up the bamboo tree together.
We covered the history of ancient Egypt up through the meaning of mankind.
Yeah, that's right. We solved some problems, I think. If you were listening to this show, you're fortunate enough to get the nuggets that we shared. But then we have Wednesday show. I'm not sure who's on tomorrow. And then we have spontaneous Thursday. If it will be spontaneous, we'll find out. But we definitely will be down the rabbit hole with Mark Matheny, my buddy here on the other side of the table. Who are you going to guess?
I have a fantastic guest. I have Tom Benedict of Tom Stones,
who,
if you've been to any of the metaphysical expos in Columbus, you've mm-hmm. seen Tom. Tom is hilarious, and he is an amazing reader.
Nice. And then we finish up with Mud Till at Midnight. Hopefully he'll cuss a little bit more, like he did in the last show. But he had his reasons.
Don't mess with Sasquatch.
Yeah, don't mess with Sasquatch. But give him back his beef jerky.
Right.
Wreck your car. So, I want to say have a great afternoon. Ho'oponopono. Much love, and we'll see you guys next week.
Ciao.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake.